So now, to think about that passage from Ephesians. Just a few minutes ago, towards the start of our service, I asked you to tell the person next to you about something good that's happened this week, and of course about something bad that's happened this week. Well, my good and bad this week, the good was I went into Trinity School on Thursday morning, a school where several of us are involved as governors. I go into the school very regularly and went in to celebrate their GCSE results. Last year wasn't such a great year, but this year a 19% improvement and lots of young people far surpassing the expectations that were placed on them when they were 11. They've done far better than anyone could have predicted. So that was brilliant to be able to share in that. My bad thing was I went on Friday to visit a couple who go to St. Peter's who are expecting a baby this weekend, and the lady's discovered that she's got some complications in her pregnancy right in the final days, and so that for me was something very sad to share in. Life is full of ups and downs, good things and bad things, but sometimes it can feel as if the bad things outweigh the good things. When lots of bad things all happen at the same time, or when they happen one after another, you can feel as if you're under attack, as if you're under fire in the firing line, that you're constantly battling against the things that life throws at us. Well, today's reading from Ephesians is written for anybody who feels like that, for anybody who feels like, gosh, life is such a battle. And the first thing that Paul, who wrote this letter to the Ephesian church, says is, you're right. You are absolutely right. Life is a battle. For our struggle, Paul says, is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I think what Paul's saying is that there is a spiritual dimension to life. There are things going on that we can't see. And some of the opposition that we face in our day-to-day lives is spiritual opposition. And actually, Paul uses the word evil to describe it. To stand at the front of church and to talk about the force of evil in our world can sound rather abstract. But if I held up a Sunday newspaper and if I invited you to look through it and I asked you, can you see any sign of evil in our world? I suspect that most of us would say, yes, lots. There's a great deal of good in the world, there really is, but there is also a great deal of evil. And when Paul talks about us being opposed by this evil, when he says, listen, there's something going on here that we can't fully see and understand, I think he's talking about it in two different ways. One aspect of this opposition Paul describes is a sort of direct opposition. At many times through history and still today, Christians have been directly opposed for their faith. Not just Christians, of course, people of other faiths too, but Christians have been opposed for their faith. The most recent example of that is probably last year, the opposition of against Iraqi Christians by ISIS, where they set out just to rid the nation of any Christians. The other side to opposition I would describe as a sort of indirect opposition. And I would describe that as all the things that get in the way of God's good purposes in the world, all the things that thwart God's purposes for us and for his creation. They're things like sickness, suffering, violence, inequality, poverty, environmental degradation. They undermine all that God wants to see happen in the world. And sometimes as well, I think that indirect opposition can be what I'd call a low-level opposition. Anything that just distracts us or draws us away from what God wants to do in us or what God wants to do through us. Yes, says Paul, life is a battle. And evil does undermine God's good world. And as Christians, we don't just see that in the newspaper. We feel it spiritually. We sense there is something going on beyond what we can just see. I suppose to put it another way, it feels as if Paul is saying, yes, there will be times where you feel under attack in the firing line and like life is a battle. And those times, they may well shake your faith. That's what he's saying here. Things are going to happen, and those things will shake your faith. So says Paul, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Life's a battle. Here's how you can respond. Paul then uses that familiar image of a soldier putting on armour in preparation for battle. It's a great image because it's so easy to picture. But I suppose today we might use a different kind of image. I was thinking a contemporary image is packing for a holiday, a summer holiday in the UK. Because there's that old adage that says there's no such thing as bad weather, there's only bad clothing. And of course, if you have a cagoule and waterproof trousers and wellies, you can still enjoy a British beach in August. So Paul's saying, listen, I'm going to tell you what you need to take with you. This is what you need to put in your suitcase if you're going to be able to cope with whatever life has to throw at you when you're facing opposition. And Paul gives us a little list. The first thing he says is the belt of truth. A reminder that though we may be plagued with doubts, understandably when life is hard, he's saying, you will doubt, but actually this Jesus that we believe in, he is real and he is true. And God is there even when it feels like he's not. The second thing Paul tells us to put on is the breastplate of righteousness. The confidence of knowing that we are right with God. That means when we stand before God, we don't stand there as people condemned. We stand before God knowing that we are loved and accepted by him, that we are one of his children. And the breastplate protects us from the idea that bad things happen as a punishment from God. The breastplate says, no, that's not true because you are loved as a child of God. The next thing Paul mentions is the boots of the gospel of peace, that idea of a soldier and big boots that equip him or her to march for hours at a time. The boots suggest that faith is a hard path to walk, but the peace that we long for is found on that path, because the peace that we long for is found in and through God. The shield of faith, they're being created at the back as we speak, tells us if we put our confidence and trust in Jesus, he will protect us. That doesn't mean we will dodge all of the arrows in life. In fact, quite the contrary, Paul says, you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So he's saying, actually, arrows will come your way. In fact, they might even embed themselves in your shield, but they don't have to consume you. They don't have to destroy you. The helmet of salvation, the knowledge that whatever life may throw at us, whatever evil we encounter, that Jesus can't be beaten. There is nothing that can be thrown at Jesus that can defeat him, that can destroy him, because he is stronger than all of that. The helmet of salvation reminds us that one day we will share in that victory. It can be very hard to feel and believe in the moment, but one day we will share in that. And Paul's final piece of armour is the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. That basically means the message of the gospel, the message that asserts again and again that God is love and Jesus is Lord. Whatever else is thrown at us, it's that reminder to say, no, we believe, we trust that God is love and that Jesus is Lord. He is in control. The final piece of advice that Paul gives is that we should pray. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests, praying for all the Lord's people. So he's saying very simply, pray for yourselves and pray for one another as well. If you've ever been through one of those times in life where you feel like, do you know what, I am just feel under attack, life is a battle, I think those are the hardest times to pray. Those are often the times where we don't even know how to begin to approach God. We can't find the words. We just can't start. But actually, as I read Paul's charge for us to pray for one another, pray for our fellow Christians, it makes me think of the Roman army and of history lessons at primary school. Maybe you had this history lesson as well. When the Roman army went into battle, when they were under attack, what they did was they put their shields together to form a tortoise or a turtle formation. Do you remember that from history of junior school? All the shields would come in, shields over the head, shields at the side, so they were totally protected. What made it a really smart military strategy was the fact that they were stronger together than they were when they were separate. I think that's what it's like for us. Elsewhere in the New Testament, Paul says, if one part of the church suffers, if one part of the body suffers, we all suffer. We all share in that pain. If one of us is under attack, we all feel that. So how do we respond when someone says, actually, this is a constant battle for me? We pull together and we pray for one another. We put our shields up together on all sides so that we are protecting one another. It's a helpful reminder to say, don't be afraid to ask for someone to pray for you or to pray with you. We've only had a very small amount of time to think about some of the themes in this passage. There are huge themes in this passage about good and evil, the devil, spiritual forces. We've sort of just skimmed the surface, really. But for me, the central message in these few verses is that life is a battle. And even as Christians, we will feel under attack. But Paul's saying, we can withstand that attack if we hold on to the things we believe to be true, and if we hold on to one another as well. What I'd like to do just for a moment is to pause and have as much quiet as we can manage. And in that moment, it might be that you're thinking, actually, I feel as if I have been in a battle for many months or many years, and you just want to say to God, help me put the armor on. Or it might be that as I've been speaking, there's someone else has come to mind, and you've thought, I'm aware of somebody who has just been under attack constantly, and simply remember that person, those people before God, as we ask for his help and as we come together like that Roman army image. Let's pause for a moment.